Get 12 weeks of The Spectator in print and online for just £12. And we'll give you a £20 Amazon gift voucher, absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, The Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Katie Balls and I'm joined by James Forsyth and Kate Andrews, The Spectator's economic correspondent. This morning we've heard from Boris Johnson. He's been speaking from Dudley, one of the seats the Tories won in the 2019 election. James, the aim of today's speech was to try and move the focus back from the intensive coronavirus period of daily press conferences, daily death tolls, to talking about the election agenda, the level up agenda. So what did Boris Johnson have to say?
I think the problem was that this was meant to be an optimistic speech about bouncing forward, as Boris Johnson likes to put it. But as the news today is not particularly optimistic, you know, Leicester, a city of 500,000 people, is going kind of back into lockdown. Its economy is being shuttered again, you know, non-essential retail closed today, schools closing on Thursday. And I think that this is the challenge for the government. It wants to kind of turn the page from the public health element of coronavirus and get on to the economic recovery. But the virus hasn't gone away. And I think that is the challenge for Boris Johnson in trying to give speeches like this. And, you know, it's hard to urge people to go out and spend when you've still got this public health problem that is hanging over public confidence. And there's an interesting thing. I think Downing Street were very pleased that last week, for the first time, the public agreed with the easing of lockdown. But now those poll numbers have reversed. I think this is a concern that the public are once more becoming more nervous about the virus. Obviously, that might dampen down any economic recovery.
Now, Kate, James mentioned spend in terms of what the government wants the public to do. What about what the government is currently doing? Because we heard a bit yesterday about the American president, Boris Johnson, wanted to channel with his New Deal. Today, the language changed to a degree, but we did hear that they wanted to spend a large chunk of money. But in truth, it is $5 billion of pre-announced spending. So is this a big spending splurge? Are we expecting more money? Do you think this is, you know, Rooseveltian standards?
Well, that's right, Katie. The government's trying to paint this as turning the page going forward, but arguably they're turning the page back to their election manifesto and back to their previous budget in March, when the majority of new borrowing pledges were actually for non-COVID projects. They're just moving those projects forward. So this isn't new money. They're not particularly new ideas. I found it extremely jarring to hear about how they're going to do up roads and the railways when you're looking at an economic crash that is completely unprecedented, that we haven't been able to compare to anything in the past hundreds of years. About 300 years, I think, is the forecast.
The Great Frost.
Huh?
The Great Frost.
The Great Frost, exactly. And he wants to be the great FDR, but on his New Deal strategy, I think he may regret conjuring up the ghost of FDR and the New Deal. If you were to actually put it in real terms, looking at spending, it'd be closer to £1 trillion than it would £5 billion. And as well, it's a completely different kind of crisis. I think he's going to disappoint those who want to spend a lot. He's definitely irritated those who want him to go for more supply-side reforms and look at tax cuts and ways to actually boost the economy. Frankly, I'm quite shocked that in terms of the corona recovery, we're hearing about old plans pre-COVID, not much new.
James, a lot of criticism today about what Kate's touching on, this idea of, in a way, what you could argue is the worst of both worlds, because it's not the big spending that was suggested yesterday in terms of the packaging. At the same time, it's more spending than some are comfortable with. But just to slightly play devil's advocate, I mean, what this number 10, if you think about their campaigning, well known for is getting a phrase inside people's heads and then keep hearing. And watching some of the broadcast today, people are just repeatedly talking about this New Deal. So do you think, even if it isn't a New Deal, have they slightly won some type of battle because now everyone's talking about a New Deal, even if it's old?
I think the New Deal is meant to indicate ambition. What it's meant to say is that, you know, this is going to be a big recovery project. It's meant to be kind of classic Tory ideological magpies. You know, we're not worried about a bigger role for the state, if that's what it takes to get the economy back on its feet. I think you can get into all sorts of arguments. I will spare you the question of whether it was really World War II that got the American economy going again rather than a New Deal, or whether, you know, if we were to go fully pretentious, you know, he's picked the wrong Roosevelt because Teddy Roosevelt's trust-busting and
lots
green
of agenda.
We can do full Roosevelt bingo if you want, but I think it is trying to send a message that levelling up, which is, you know, one of the things that won the Tories that majority, is still on the agenda. Now, I have a slightly different worry to Kate. My worry is the announcement on school capital, right? Because if levelling up is going to be about building new school buildings, that is, to my mind, not the answer. New school buildings are all well and good, but you cannot seriously think that the biggest problem of education in England is the quality of the buildings in which children are being taught. That is not the prime issue. But I think what you saw today with the decision to go out to the West Midlands and all that is to try and say to those voters who voted for the Tories in the hope of getting levelling up, but, you know, it's still coming. I think there is an interesting question here about what kind of economic recovery we're going to get, and we still don't know. I think it's very interesting. I mean, I think you go through, Westminster goes through cycles on this. So a while ago, people became very pessimistic, and the debate was whether it was going to be a U or an L. And now it's becoming much more a debate about whether it's a U or a V. And very interestingly, Andy Haldane, the chief economist of the Bank of England, gave a speech yesterday using some data that only the Bank of England has access to, which I agree means you can't fully analyse what he's saying, but basically arguing that he thinks this recovery is going to be a V. And I think this is the question here, which is...
And do we know why, that even if you don't have the data...
Basically, households are spending more money than you'd expect, and the position of household finances are better than you think, because people have saved money during the lockdown, and Haldane thinks people are going to go out and spend it as soon as they get the opportunity to do so. And I think this is a kind of interesting question, because right now, if you think about it, you've got low interest rates, low energy prices, and lots of government stimulus coming. Now, it's hard to see how those three factors combine to lead to a prolonged recession. But the way that they could do that is if consumer and business confidence is so shot. And that is where the Leicester thing comes in, because the thing that will hold back, I think, both business investment and consumer spending is the fear that we could end up with a second spike and another set of restrictions being imposed in the autumn. So, you know, keep your acorns close, because you might need them this winter.
And Kate, if we look at the economic recovery, James sets out some of the factors there. But we heard from Boris Johnson today. He was talking about how there are some things that hadn't been able to open yet. He mentioned gyms, for example, and there was the suggestion that these things would be able to open in time. So once you have gyms and potentially nightclubs reopened, perhaps in a socially distanced way, which might mean people don't want to particularly go to a nightclub, does that mean that we are now back? Is that the end of the government's recovery plan? Because what are the other factors here? Because at the moment, I think there was a new data out yesterday which suggested where the Department for Transport currently is they can probably take about 35% capacity of what they used to have on TfL before it would, you know, breach the social distancing guidelines. And we also still have the guidance for people to work from home if they can. We had warnings in the Sunday Times at the weekend that city centres could actually be the next place where we might start to see businesses folding. So what externally do you think are the big challenges still, even though things are being relaxed? What still needs to be relaxed or is causing problems?
Normal is so far away. And if you look at these forecasts from the heavy hitters, from the OBR, from the Bank of England, a lot of them are optimistic about economic recovery, but they're not optimistic about jobs. They think that they're going to be potentially millions more people unemployed and that those jobs aren't going to come back as quickly. And I think a lot of the British public aren't so aware of this because the furloughing scheme has masked a lot of that pain so far. But today, I actually think perhaps the government isn't as aware of it, because you have this whole levelling up agenda laid out that is almost solely focused on infrastructure. There was no reference to the fact that millions more people are going to be out of work, no reference to the fact that millions are waiting for surgeries that have been delayed because of the COVID crisis, that children have been out of school for months, and the economic and inequality disparities that we're going to see as a result of that. It was totally unimaginative. And the focus on that £5 billion, which was already allotted to these infrastructure projects is just what the government wants to keep repeating because it's the agenda that they had pre-COVID. I think one of the most shocking things today is that what is the agenda post-COVID? I mean, I really don't think that's been laid out yet. And James has highlighted the things that could go wrong in terms of getting that V-shaped recovery. I'm highlighting employment. The government has yet to do so. Now, you know, the one glimmer of hope is that the Chancellor is going to be speaking next week, probably, hopefully, laying out some more proposals about how we get the economy started again. But the Prime Minister's sole focus on government intervention with, you know, very little lip service paid to what the market needs to do to get things going is astonishing from a Conservative government. He had to pause halfway through his speech to remind the country that he's not a communist. I mean, this is unbelievable when you're looking at the kind of recovery that the UK is going to need, and the Prime Minister is laying out his old agenda with the promise that he's not actually a massive socialist communist. It doesn't inspire loads of market confidence, which this government's seriously going to need, A, to get the economy going, but also to finance the spending and the borrowing that it wants to do in the long term.
At the risk of totally sending Kate's blood pressure through the roof, I think part of a government's plan is kind of Keynesianism with a green tint, right? So you basically spend lots of money trying to hit net zero, and that basically you upgrading public buildings to make them, you know, more carbon efficient so they're better for the environment, all these things. The idea is that gives you a short-term stimulus to the economy and also helps you with your aim of trying to hit net zero. But again, all of these are very much government schemes, and now in some ways that's in keeping with the whole New Deal idea, but there is a question here about, you know, how you're going to get the private sector going again post-corona crisis.
And just finally, I feel we could be here for some time if we wanted to be, but Kay, I don't want to drive you to despair fully.
I'm already there.
Does it make sense, James or Kate, if we look at the spending, so £5 billion on infrastructure, that the government is putting so much into improving, you know, public transport at a time when there was a time for not to get on public transport?
It doesn't add up, does it, Katie? And it's all good and well to talk about sort of small modifications in the short term that can be made to make the UK greener. I mean, I think a lot of free marketeers are on board with the green energy agenda, but if you actually want to hit your net zero target by 2050, it is going to take the private sector coming on board completely and revolutionizing the way that energy is delivered, homes are heated, and all the rest of it. Again, no reference to the money makers, the people who meaningfully fund all the government projects in any kind of meaningful way today. I mean, such
didn't
little...
Boris Johnson suggest that everyone should clap for them?
Did he? I might have missed that.
That's very meaningful.
Yeah, very deep and meaningful, one might say. Okay, well, great. They get a clap, but they don't get any cuts to national insurance. They don't get any red tape scaled back. They didn't get anything in his announcement today. And I'm increasingly concerned that the sole focus is on what government can provide in the short term. It feels like campaigning. It feels like a campaign to get out of COVID. And unfortunately, campaign rhetoric is not what's going to solve this massive economic contraction. And it's not what's going to bring jobs back.
James, you get to have the final word.
I think that your point about public transport, Katie, is right, which is at some point, right, you have to get the economy going fully again. And you can't do that with kind of one hand holding onto the side of a swimming pool and telling people to work from home whenever they can. And that is
my way I swim.
And I think that is the challenge. And I mean, this is the point about Leicester is, as long as you, to keep going back to it, as long as you have things like Leicester, the government is going to be reluctant to say, let's get everyone onto commuter trains, let's get everyone onto buses, let's get everyone onto the tube, because they're going to worry about, you know, what happens if you get a second spike in the virus. And I mean, this is the challenge, which is that you're trying to do these two things in common. And the government loves to say that there's no trade-off, but there is a trade-off here, because undoubtedly, if we had packed public transport into our big cities and our big metropolitan areas, that would run a risk of more cases. And without the app, that is a particular problem. But until you have thriving city centres again, you are depriving the economy of one of its biggest engines.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Kate. And thank you for listening.
Get 12 weeks of The Spectator in print and online for just £12. And we'll give you a £20 Amazon gift voucher, absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk /voucher.